You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. It is no secret that Michael Bloomberg is spending a lot on his Democratic presidential campaign, from Super Bowl ads to social media influencers. At the last count, he has spent more than $460 million. But as the Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports, a lot of that money is going to hire campaign staff in our region. That's good for Bloomberg. Maybe not so good for other Democratic campaigns in the region.
The office is hard to miss if you're driving by. There's signs coating the windows saying, "I like Mike" and "Idaho for Mike 2020. Inside the Boise office, you're welcomed by more signs and a seemingly true-to-size cardboard cutout of Bloomberg himself. A white and brown dog lies on the floor nearby as a handful of people work at folding tables.
Hi, you Aaron?
Yes.
Nice. Aaron Hudson is the spokesperson for Bloomberg's campaign in Idaho. She wouldn't say how many people Bloomberg has hired here, but she did say they'll be in offices in Boise, Pocatello, and Coeur d'Alene.
So we'll have hubs in those sections of the state, and then we have teams all over the state.
Bloomberg is the first Democratic presidential candidate to open offices here so far. He's also the first to hire staff in Wyoming, and he's got more people in offices in Utah than anyone else. Some of those jobs pay $6,000 a month plus benefits. Hudson says Bloomberg's big coffers definitely give him an edge.
So we're not waiting on fundraising, and we're not waiting on one field person having to recruit a team of just volunteers.
At last count, she says Bloomberg had offices in 43 states. And Hudson says some of those campaign workers are contracted through to November, even if Bloomberg doesn't win.
We all have the same goal, is to remove Donald Trump from the White House, make sure that he is a one-term president, and get a Democratic president in the White House in November.
And if Bloomberg loses the nomination, she says these offices will work with whoever wins.
So whoever that nominee is, they're coming in to this well-built structure and team that's ready to help them out and get to that end goal.
There will be some challenges with that approach, right?
That's Jacqueline Kettler. She's a political scientist at Boise State University.
If that organization continues to be operated by him and not connected to the Democratic Party, there can be coordination issues, there can be mixed messaging.
That said, Kettler suspects Bloomberg and his campaign may be promoting this idea of sharing the wealth for a good reason. Image.
There was a lot of criticism when he first entered the race, like, why? We already have plenty of candidates. We already have moderate and centrist candidates. Like, why do you need to be entering this race?
So she says this could be his response. He's helping the Democratic Party overall, even if he doesn't get the nomination. Still, she adds, buying up all the talent before other candidates get a chance to.
It is a pretty interesting tactic to try to monopolize, you know, a lot of the experienced campaign staff in a region.
While your competitors are focused on the early voting states. That said, Hillary Clinton campaigned with more offices and staffers in much of the West, too, and lost big to Bernie Sanders in states like Utah and Idaho.
Just because you spend the most does not mean you're going to win.
And money isn't everything. Sanders has volunteer networks built up from years ago. Other campaigns have been working hard to build them, too. Ben Halley is a spokesperson with Pete Buttigieg's campaign.
In order to scale up in a real way, you really need to have a grassroots volunteer network that is on the ground in all those states, that's from those communities, that's organizing those communities.
And it's worth noting here that those communities could be shifting, something Bloomberg's campaign may have recognized.
The old electorate that used to be in the Mountain West is changing.
That's William Fry with the public policy nonprofit Brookings Institution. He says this is one of the fastest growing areas in the nation, and it's trending more purple than before.
It is a region on the go, and it's a region that's growing. And so I can understand why politicians want to be able to be part of that change.
Regardless, Bloomberg is digging deep into his campaign's pockets to reach Mountain West voters before they pick their ideal Democratic candidate in the coming weeks. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And Madeline is joining us live in studio to talk more about this. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
So the story first aired last week, but there are some new developments when it comes to Bloomberg's campaign in Idaho and the West and around the country, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And you read one of those new developments I put in the intro there, which is the FEC filings came out this last Friday. And it shows that since the beginning of his run, which is about 93 days ago, he spent $463 million. And that's averaging about somewhere around like $4 million a day as of last Friday. He's spending a lot. He's breaking a bunch of different barriers. He spent more than $35 million on TV ads, which is a record. He's spending more on social media influencers and non-traditional media than anyone else, breaking Obama's record. And then at the same time, a bunch of news has come out on how much he's paying people to work 20 to 30 hours a week just to text their families and loved ones and post to their social media channels. And that's $2,500 a month to just do that.
Just to do that.
Yep. Just to do that. And that's he's been working really hard on that in California because obviously their primary is coming up soon. but yeah, so that's pretty much all of the developments that have happened in the last couple of days.
Just
I'm sure
so
there,
much.
There are going to be more.
Just so much money. I mean, so much money.
Gobs of money. And they estimated his Super Bowl ad just alone to be $10 million.
Okay, so just to reiterate, why is he campaigning so hard here in Idaho? We are a red, rural state.
Right. No, and so and at first when you think about it, you think, wow, that's very antithetical. But because Bloomberg wasn't able to make it in the first couple states, right, he's not in Iowa, not in New Hampshire, not in South Carolina, not in Nevada, he is going to have to hit every other state as hard as he can. And so even in rural states, even in Wyoming, even in Idaho, he's going to need every single delegate he can get. So, yeah, that's why this region and these states are so important to him.
So how might his campaign then affect other races in the upcoming election or future elections? I mean, for example, I mean, you know, we go to the polls on March 10th here in Idaho.
Right. And so what he might what this campaigning might actually do for the future is a couple things. So he obviously he's had people contracted through to November.
Right, no matter what happens.
Right, no matter what happens. And that might not just suck out the air out of the room for other presidential candidates, but possibly some other local down-ticket races in Idaho and other places if they don't have staffers they can hire. A lot of other presidential campaigns, if they did campaign in Idaho, focused on Boise, right? There might be more staffers here, so that wasn't as much of a problem. But what if you're buying up staffers in Pocatello and in Coeur d'Alene and these areas where there might not be as many, right? So that's a concern. But there's also the possible good ramifications that it'd bring more people out to vote. And that might be good for either side. It might be people are getting more doors knocked on by the Bloomberg campaign, and they might say, man, I need to make sure to go out and support my Republican candidates because I really don't like this. Or you might have the opposite reaction. People are like, you know, like whether or not I like Bloomberg, I really need to get out to the polls and vote. So that might be a couple of the different consequences of this happening here.
It is fascinating to look at how presidential elections have evolved in Idaho and the Mountain West over the years. You know, I mean, when I moved here more than 20 years ago, Idaho was a blip. I mean, no presidential candidates came to Idaho. Nobody campaigned this hard in Idaho. I mean, we will still likely be red when it comes to the presidential election. But is that changing demographics that we're seeing? I mean, what is it that all of a sudden in the last, you know, we've seen it since Obama, when he campaigned here before he became president in 2006. And all of a sudden, we're on this track that presidential candidates care.
Right. And that's, and I mean, a bit of it's that primaries are becoming so vicious at this point. Mm. There's been a lot of candidates, and it's been kind of close with some of them. Some of them have very similar ideals, and they stay on in the campaign longer. But another issue that's going to become bigger and bigger from now on is that the Mountain West is the fastest growing region overall. If you look at all the states in the region and look at their percentage growth rates, it's growing faster than any other region. So this next census, it's not going to count for this presidential election. But this next census will likely bring more delegates to the Mountain West. It's going to make this place more important. And the interesting thing about the Mountain West is it's going to be hard to cater to it because a lot of the time people's ideology here doesn't match just strictly liberal or strictly Republican. A lot of people have mixed backgrounds here of libertarianism, where they don't want the government involved, but they want more progressive ideals like, you know, let you know, there's a lot of different mixtures of humans. It's a very purple region. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of rife for more politicians to come in and discuss what their ideals are to campaign. But obviously, with campaigns being what they are right now, very polarized one side or the other, there's going to have to be probably more middle ground going forward as we see more campaigns come out to the Mountain West.
And when we say Mountain West, I mean, to clarify, I mean, this is not just Idaho. We are talking truly this Mountain West area. So take Washington and Oregon and California out of it.
Correct. No, we're talking Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Idaho, New Mexico, and Arizona. Even if we look at that entire region, what the last guy that I talked to there from the Brookings Institution, William Fry, he said that in all seven Intermountain West states, there's either been between the 2016 election and the 2018 midterm election, there has been either less Republican support or more Democratic support. So some things are in every one of those states, including Idaho and Montana and Wyoming. So things are getting more muddled. They're getting more purple for this entire region as it's growing, as it's one of the fastest growing places in the world. You know, not the world.
It feels like the world.
It does feel like the world. It's not. It's just the U.S. But anyways.
But it's fascinating to think of it that way, Madeline, and to see how there really could potentially be an effect on future presidential campaigns based on the Mountain West.
Right. No, and that's the thing is having Bloomberg come out here and start establishing where those offices might be and start establishing those ground rules of people that might work on future campaigns, he might be influencing what infrastructure is out there for future campaigns down the road, whether those be Democratic or Republican.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking more about this. We've been talking with Madeline Beck of the Mountain West News Bureau, based here at Boise State Public Radio. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.